Welcome back to Startup to Success on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.
But I am super excited about the money magic that you've created. I'm sorry, I want to jump into that a little bit because
let's talk about money magic.
Yeah, that's something that I think a lot of people too. It doesn't, it's just you don't have to be a startup or a small business where you're established or, tell me a little bit. I'll let you sort of talk about what it is and who it would be ideal for.
So, ultimately this is I've just created a new set of courses. It's one class, it's a course of like six classes and they all happen sequentially. And they're really for like entrepreneurs. So yes, you could be at any stage in your business. You may be frustrated with where you are. You may feel like in your role as leadership that you're not getting answers that you want from like your staff, or if you've hired someone externally to do like your bookkeeping and finance, is kind of similar to what I do, but you don't know what to ask them for. I cover a lot of that stuff. So my sort of thinking about it was I want to reach more people. I know that people need this. Maybe people can't afford to work directly with me because it's not cheap, right? I really value my time. And so I wanted to put something out there that would give people, I could talk to them about their habits, their communication about money, their own belief systems about money, because we actually have to acknowledge that and get into that if we want to create more money and more revenue from our businesses. So we just have to deal with ourselves because we are the only thing in our way. So it gets a little woo-woo, but we have to. And then from there, I kind of start building and developing, like I call it like working out your money muscles to give people some new habits and skills to practice. And I like that it's 6 weeks because I didn't want to do a thing where I had like a money retreat for 2 days. I wanted to start creating habits and practices. And that takes a minimum of 3 weeks. So 6 weeks is a good period of time. And the thing that I give people over time, not only are like exercises and new ways to think about stuff, but I show them examples of how like something can work. And I give them examples of like budgets and monthly nuts so they can manage not only their business finances, but their personal finances. And I give them templates, the ones that I use in my business and for myself, I give them those as downloadable tools. And so it's like, it's kind of amazing just that they can take this course. It's recorded. They can come back to it. I'm also doing an hour to an hour and a half of weekly office hours where people can call in and like ask all their crazy questions. Who knows what they are?
Just to confirm, that's part of the course. If they purchase the course,
that's part of the course.
That's amazing.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to see how it goes. And I will record all the office hours because I know, if people are chiming in from, all parts of the world, potentially, I want them to still have the value of those conversations. And then I also have like one-on-one, I think if you pay full price for the course, and if you register before a certain time, they get one-on-one call with me for 75 minutes. And that is like $400 value, just a one-on-one call, because I have a whole prep process before it that they fill out and send to me. So I spend time before I even get on the phone with them, understanding their business and their problems. And then we get on the phone and we can just get into like problem solving. So what I really want to do with this, with my work directly with clients or with my courses, is help people solve real problems that they're facing every day, see it from a new perspective. So they're not like, fear around money or trying to make changes around money is really isolating. I think that culturally we've just developed that. And I think that in order to kind of like lift the cover off of that, people just need to see examples and be told it's okay. I'm going to help you with this. So I just want to be that resource for them to like demystify a bunch of funny language and words that they've never heard before. Be like, it's really basic stuff. And here's how you can work with it and apply it to your own business and your own life and start to feel really confident. And like you have this thing on track and you're headed toward, whatever your personal goal may be.
I love it. I love it. And speaking of money, I think, I don't know, I can't wait to take the course so I can learn more about it. But I personally did struggle with the way I viewed money. My parents lost money when we came from Armenia to US. And I remember as a child, I made money so not important in my life. And I grew up thinking money was always secondary to me. Although, you know, I'm ambitious and I want to have money so I can have all the wonderful things in life. But somehow it was so weird. Like I would prioritize it, but then deep inside, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
And it didn't, I think it was probably about 5 years ago when I realized that unless I fix things within, I can't fix things on the outside, because all I found myself doing was helping others and having a hard time charging for my time and giving it value, and only because I didn't value money. So it really does work hand in hand. And it's just, you know, we just don't think about it until someone tells you and you're like, oh, wow, this is insane how...
Or we get like frustrated and we're like, you know, if I didn't charge enough money to my clients for how much time and effort I put into the work I do for them, then I wouldn't be able to support myself. Why would I build it that way? So I think also culturally we have this thing around, if you have a lot of money, you've done something terrible to get it, because the reality is there are some people that have done some terrible things to have a lot of money. They exist. That aside, there's nothing wrong with money. It's really just like, you know, it's like a scoreboard, if you will. It's like, oh, if I'm going to play this game, I want to win at it. So I think like a lot of the work that I do, sometimes I do refer to it as a scoreboard, and I just want to help people understand the game so they can play it and win. And they're not playing against anybody. So by virtue of, you know, making a lot of money, you haven't hurt someone else, because there's more than enough for all of us. And so like all the in my client work and in my coursework, those principles are always being reiterated, and just helping people to really look at it like it's a flow of energy. For the, like, money is really just a byproduct of the work that, or the work or the effort or the energy that we put out into the world. And it comes back to us in that way sometimes. It comes back to us in other ways, but if we want it to, we can sort of have an unlimited amount flow back to us.
Right. But it also goes back to, when you prioritize money, then your business model can be built properly.
Yes.
I've seen businesses where they seemed to be so successful, busy. And then when the time came, and as a marketer, I never dove into their financials, but I did have to look at a few documents to figure out what their cost per acquisition would be in order to build a marketing campaign around it. And I realized that they're not making money, they're bleeding money. And I was just like, well, why wouldn't you prioritize this and look at your business model and make sure that you're profitable? They just don't care. They're like,
they just not know.
I'm successful. I've got all these customers, but then you're paying all these people and so on. And so, you know, it's kind of interesting how people just continue going that route without prioritizing, whether it's viewing their financials on a monthly basis or simply having a system in place where they can look at reports and their P&Ls and all of that. And I think that's another issue that I would love to bring up and talk about: profit and loss statements. You know, a lot of small businesses use QuickBooks. I myself use it too. And I do like it, because I can pull reports as often as I like. But the challenge that I have is making time to look at those reports on a monthly basis. And I know they're instrumental. I need to do it and I need to figure out how to optimize my business, but I really have a hard time making that a priority in my day to day. So what would you suggest for people like me to do so that we don't put this on the back burner and just review it every 3 months?
Yeah. So that's, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's actually a really important thing. Like having your QuickBooks or whatever your accounting system in order, and it's really, really critical. That has to be getting done. So if you're not doing it yourself and you're paying someone else to do it, you got to check in on them just to make sure that they're on top of it. And I think that, you know, anyone who deals with like accounting or bookkeeping knows that you have to tie the books out every month and you know, you reconcile the bank statements and you do all that and then look at your P&L. And I think that their QuickBooks does run reports. QuickBooks spits out reports that nobody on earth wants to actually look at. I mean, I look at them, but then I think one of the other things you have to do is if you're hiring someone else to do this work for you, is you have to ask them to provide management reporting to you. That's like one of the things that I do for my clients, kind of is a big distinction between like just accounting and bookkeeping and actually like reporting at an executive level. So I take that data and I create a different, it's the same information. I just restate it in a more elegant way. I also create a cash flow statement. And so I use cash flow as a way to like actualize what's happened to date. And then because we know so many fixed costs, right? So most of our operating expenses are fixed. I project that out, you know, through like the year. So like for 2021, I've got that for all my clients projected out through December. And I think what that lets us do is that lets us see the known world that we have control over. And then when surprises pop up, because we know that they do, we can add those in or we can facilitate those as needed and plan accordingly. But we need to know, we need to have like a baseline for what we're going to spend, what our overhead is, and what we should be expecting, because we also need to be looking at pipeline business, what's coming in that's new, how we're marketing, and are we going to meet the revenue goals that we have so that we can cover all of our overhead and expenses. So I think most small business owners are not equipped to do that for themselves, and it is worth spending a little bit of money to have someone create a cash flow statement and put together a P&L in a slightly more beautiful format so that you can see the performance of the business. And it's actually something that you want to look at. I know that's not like a self-serve model, but you have to be intimate with those numbers. Otherwise, I don't know how you can set yourself up to make decisions. And ultimately, that's what that's about. Like, people get lost because they don't look at their numbers and they don't know what decisions to make next because they don't know what's going on with their money. And I think that's probably the biggest service that I provide is just like setting people up to make decisions.
That's awesome. Now, would that be part of your bookkeeping services?
That's part of it. Yeah, like accounting, finance, bookkeeping. It's kind of all one. So it's like really expensive bookkeeping, but there's this executive reporting level kind of component and strategy built into it.
And would you say that if someone like me, for example, I'm eventually going to need consultation for my projections, my financial projections to prep all my finances for my investors, potential investors, would the bookkeeping really simplify that entire process? If I were to work with you and use your bookkeeping services, and then will that make it easier?
For a business that's already operating, we have a history that we can pull from. It's going to tell us a story up to, you know, the last month, let's say. And then we know based on, let's say if your business is seasonal, I know that your new shop probably has a lot of foot traffic. And so if the weather is really nice, it's always nice here, but you know, by our standards, if it's really nice, you might have higher sales or like holidays. Like you're going to start to know over time what those trends are. It's not really seasonal, but in some businesses it's very, very seasonal. And so I think once you start to tell that story, you can project out for the future. Oh, we know this happens. And then we're going to spend this on marketing and we're going to grow it like this. So yeah, I think absolutely you gotta have all that data.
I love it. I think your course is exciting. I can't wait to take it myself. I do need the money magic in my life. We're gonna have to talk. I need a lot of help financially. I think, you know, I do have an MBA, so I always lean on that and say, oh, I understand finance and I can read a P&L. I can analyze my cash flow, but making time for it is one thing. And then keeping up with the newer stuff and understanding what's important in my business is very different from the education that I've gotten 20 something years ago. So I almost feel like it's important for me to have it, but at the same time, I keep putting it secondary and I'm just like, I'll get to it. I don't need help, but I'm realizing I need more help than I thought I need, because I need somebody to hold me accountable, to make sure that I'm looking at my finances on a monthly basis, but I also need to optimize the business. I think in any new business, whether it's a startup that's being built from scratch or like mine, which is almost a year and a few months old, I haven't sat down to really figure out how to optimize my business. And I've been putting it on hold and saying, I'll do it when I have to put my pitch and my presentation together for the VCs, but then it's going to be too late. I'm not going to be able to fix anything before then.
There's always time. I think it's just a matter of kind of like you're acknowledging something that's very true for so many people. You know, I do this for other people. I don't do it for myself as well as I do it for everyone else. I do it though. But like, it's not the thing that you want to do. It's not the thing that you're good at. And so really, if you're at a place where your business is successful enough, financially, you're stable enough that you can have someone come in and help you, I encourage anyone to do it, because you really, like, as a business owner, as somebody who's driving a business forward, the idea is to allow you to be able to do the thing that you do extraordinarily well. And then, you know, I come in, or someone does something similar to me comes in and they do this thing and they do it extraordinarily well. And then you come together and just really try to make your business better and help you thrive. And that's really the ultimate goal.
And if I were to, let's say as an example, right now I have someone who's helping me part-time with my books and everything. And if I wanted to make sure that she's doing her job properly, and I brought you on board to help me as I guess CFO, right? Yeah. Make sure everything's going smoothly, it's set up properly. And then slowly transition into putting all the financials together for my big, hopefully successful pitch. Would that also be an option? Is that something Absolutely. That you could work with? Are you flexible to work with different ways? Because if I'm just thinking, if a business can't afford to hire you for bookkeeping, for example, but can you come on board, not just to help with the VC pitches and the financial projections, but also make sure everything's kind of clean and set up properly so that we're okay. Awesome.
Totally. Yeah, actually that's like a great thing. Nobody's asked me to do that, but I think that would be awesome for me, because truthfully, I do have people that, like, someone helps me here and there with my stuff, but to have someone do a lot of that work and then just kind of review it and see, like, are we optimizing on a sort of accounting side how we're tracking the business, and are we capturing the data and, like, sort of classifying transactions in a way that's going to give you information that will translate into all of your unique lines of business, let's say how you're spending, instead of just putting all of your marketing dollars into one marketing bucket, do we want to break them up and say, like, oh, we're spending this on social marketing, we're spending this on, like, billboards, you know, because we want to see the return on those things.
And that's the biggest area that I'm having trouble with when I review my financials. I feel like my marketing spend is all bucketed under one umbrella, and I'm not able to tie ROI with social media marketing or influencer marketing. And I'm just like, oh, this is, and I've told my bookkeeper to categorize it, but I don't think she really knows or understands how to properly do it. And so I'm just like, I need more data from the marketer's perspective, but then I don't know, am I going to mess up my financials if I'm dissecting it too much or creating all these subcategories, you know? So, yeah. So I could use that second opinion of somebody coming in and saying, hey, this is how you should do it. Or even, you know, with production, there's just so many things that need to be classified properly. And if they're not, then I really don't know what my margins are, especially when selling through different channels. So I feel like there are just so many issues within just the way we're doing our bookkeeping that I need to clean house and just clean up and make sure it's structured properly. Because as a startup in the beginning, we just It was the MVP, right? The minimum viable product. You just get it out there. My priority was to get the product to sell and to make sure I'm having recurring customers before I invest so much money into all the other departments. But now I hope I'm not too late to want to fix this. But now I'm like, all right, so we've got traction. We've got customers. The product is selling, but it's a mess. I don't know where to start from. I don't know what's working, what's not. I don't have enough data. So Thank you. You're solving such a huge problem. I think without having our finances in place, we can't continue growing and we can't really be successful. So thank you. Have a wonderful day. And thank you all for listening. Startup to Success. Please follow Rhonda Pittman. We will have a link to her website where you can take her Money Magic with Rhonda course and obviously reach out to her for any additional services. I know I will be reaching out to her right after this call. Thank you, Rhonda. Have a good one.
Thanks, Maria.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining Startup to Success with Maria on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3 SoCalArmenian.com.